because it's very difficult to be different and distinctive. And you kind of need both of them in this modern advertising world because everything's so fragmented. People are not just sitting down at the TV at a certain time or listening to the radio together, or, you know, it's a much more solo experience than it was when we were growing up. And I think lots of people aren't seeing the same stuff or hearing the same stuff. And so therefore it's very difficult for brands to make an impact.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Josh Butt.
80-90% of my clients have tried something before and it's not working, or they've never tried it before and they have nothing.
Why do you think it didn't work then? I mean, did they not use it enough? Did they not implement it in enough places? Did it just really not resonate with them and they just went with it because they'd spent so much money already? Like, what happened?
Well, HBO, for example, they re-looked at their HBO composition, the long song for their I don't even know what that is. The brand anthem, it's called, actually. And then, you know, it moves into the television motif and then the which is like, thank God for HBO, you know, so subtle. I mean, the whole concept of HBO is brilliant. They spent a lot of money and time and effort to figure out if they should change it, and the answer was no.
Yeah.
And bravo, I mean, bravo.
Yeah.
They didn't need to change it.
I think maybe they were thinking that the television motif was maybe something that was going out of style, or that people weren't really using a television anymore, or that, you know, that might have been what they were thinking. But at the same time, it's iconic. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think certain things should not be changed. Right. And there's just like zero reason to change them. And also, for example, when they're doing something in a visual TV ads, whatever, YouTube, pick a place you see ads that are visual, or in audio, podcast, radio, digital audio, cable audio, whatever you've got. If you're doing something in the visual with sound, like a music, you really need to do it in the audio market as well. Otherwise, you're not taking advantage of that visual. So even if the song is sucks, and there is a lot of music out there that sucks, you have to match it. So
yes,
I think a lot of marketers are bored with the sounds, and I think that when new CMOs or new heads of marketing or just new people turn up in those important chairs, I think they're, you know, often they do things like changing creative agencies or doing a brand refresh.
They need to put their stamp on something.
And when they do that, they, you know, ruin if there is a jingle, if there is audio, they don't get the full value of what that could be. If they don't iterate on that music, if they see the music of the TV commercial as being too important to touch, which, by the way, was given no thought before production, but right at the very end suddenly becomes like, oh, no, we can't touch it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not part of strategy.
Yeah.
As a result, it's not important. It's forgotten. It's last. It's chosen by other people.
That is the whole reason for this podcast. So thank you.
Good. Does that mean I'm on the promo? Am I on the promo now?
You should be. But yeah, there's a reason why I felt I needed to talk about this. And it's exactly what you just said, that often it's the last thing people think about and they just don't think it's important.
Yeah.
And, you know,
And from a production perspective, that really annoyed me previously. Mm-hmm. My whole career, I've been at the end. I'm waiting for the client to sign off, and I could bitch and moan, but I'm not going to because that's okay. I was taught a lot of skills by being last because yes, when I was last, I wasn't given enough budget. I wasn't given enough time. You know, I wasn't given any resources really at mm-hmm. my disposal because I needed either time or money, and I had neither. And I usually had great ideas coming at me as well, but they would often be touched by what I would now consider an outdated way of advertising, which was very voiceover heavy. Mm-hmm. It was not story driven, and I gravitated towards the stories that were not voiceover driven. And I think that's my approach now, is to try and take clients away from their voiceover driven creative,
sure,
and move into to audio worth listening to that is not noise. It's a noisy world out there, and so mm-hmm. we've taken that into more and more steps away from podcasting, because podcasting is going to have double the amount of advertising in it in 2 years, right? Maybe three.
So, yeah, and it's getting more and more saturated all the time.
More and more cluttered. And so podcast hosts are doing more and more ads, right? Because everyone wants a host read because it's the most effective way to advertise because you have a natural connection. However, that's a lot of load on those hosts. So
tell me about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we started doing was creating host produce ads. And so whoever the sponsor was, and I'll give you the BMW ad that we did with Mark Pesci in his show, The Next Billion Seconds. We just wanted to make one good one. We didn't want to have to, and so whenever they, and so we, instead of doing just a traditional host read ad, we went for a test drive to check out the car that they wanted us to promote. And we drove it for real, and it was very fast and pretty amazing. And we just recorded in the car, and then we got the music that or the sound effects for the car that were created by Hans Zimmer, and we stuck it underneath the ad. And every time we put the pedal to the metal, the Hans Zimmer sounds from the car kick in, and then I kind of use it as like this premium thing mm-hmm. vibe. I made a lot of jokes, which is not very premium.
But it's educational and entertainment, right? Like that's the point.
And so I did my 80%, and then the client mm-hmm. were like, it's great, we love it, but it's a bit too funny. Like it's not 100% on brand. I knocked out two jokes. They went great, perfect, leave it, don't touch, bye. And actually the way we mix that always bothered me. So for no reason, we remixed it on Monday.
What was wrong with the mixing?
It could have been better.
Okay. Just like your perfectionism kicking in.
No, it could have been better. Like, and I don't mean that from a perfectionism mm-hmm. perspective. I just mean as an example on our website of something I did that's great, I wanted to act like you would have thought it was fine. Good, maybe. But, there's a point where it can't, like, it was, to me, it was still a bit noisy in the mix, and therefore in the experience, it wouldn't be as well received to a person wearing the good headphones. And to a person wearing the not good headphones, it was actually sitting in the bass register a little bit too much, so it may have been drowned out when they're on the bus. And so I just wanted to make sure that we cater for the people with the good and the not so good headphones, which I think is important.
That makes sense.
So our approach, really going back to the question of how we work with a brand to find their sound, everything I've just shared with you is part of the process. And so we don't think of podcasting specifically as this is not, to me, this is a chat cast, what we're doing, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is sort of the second format of podcast that we start to talk to our clients about, because everyone wants a podcast, everyone wants an ad, everyone wants a sound, right? So when we start to find out what's important to them, we start to build the audio content for their Spotify and Apple channels, wherever you get your content. Now, wherever you get your audio, not your podcasts. The podcast, right, is an old term similar to tape, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? Or rushes or bins in the in our audio lexicon. And a podcast is just a delivery mechanism, you know, through the Apple pod, iPod, right? But it should not constrain us because I think my first, that little tiny iPod carried 256 songs or something. God, that was so many, so many songs, so many songs. I listen to 256 in an hour now. And so we think, you know, a podcast can be anything. So we start with like a Focast, which is where a client wants to pretend they have a podcast, but they don't have the time to create one from scratch, or they just want to test the waters. So that's a Focast. And that that exists in video form predominantly. On LinkedIn channels.
Oh, is that when someone like actually is like sitting there with headphones on talking to nobody? Is that like, is that,
let me tell you,
okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story about, whatever. Right.
Okay.
But because I got the plan here and I got the thing and I got the pretend. Hang on. Now I'm ready for my podcast.
It looks like you're talking to somebody. Yeah.
It's it's the Fugazi cast.
I really appreciate you being here. Know anyone that you think would make a great guest for this podcast? Someone who works in sound on behalf of clients? Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear about them. Your recommendations are always super helpful. And now back to the show.
I think people are catching on to that one.
right. But that's a cheap and cheerful way for people to get started. Right.
Sure.
And so I think it's great, but you know, it also, from our perspective, we also train people up on that as well. And we give them, some education, some mic techniques, some direction, some, hang on, you just made a mistake. Take a deep breath. All right. Give me a 3-2 and then go into it, you know, 3-2. So, I'm back on the podcast with you. Thanks for joining. Then we've got Storycast. Which is a story cast. I mean, it's stories. It could be reels.
Like an audio drama or what do you...
It's a story format. Whatever it is, it's a story format.
Okay.
It could be short. It could be long. It's specific. You know, there's a sales kit. We've got a Sonic sales kit, which is B2B content. You know, think of it as a Sonic funnel worth of content. And then we've got a choose your own adventure, which could be the drama, the play, the I'm sure that's probably a copywritten term. Then you can pick whatever you want from the buffet of options that exist, because there's so many formats that exist. A client could just go, we actually want to really make an audio sitcom, but we don't want to say like it's our audio sitcom, but we want to pay for it because it talks about the industry or it talks about the message, or we think it should be out there, but we just want to sponsor it. And so, you know, basically those are the five times. We think of that as YouTube or Instagram or LinkedIn for your ears. And just able to be, easily embedded into websites. And we don't care about the video so much. We care that the video is captured well, but the making of the video is less of a priority for us as the audio. So that enables us to partner up with our clients, in-house agencies or media agencies or creative agencies or whoever. Then we create all the advertising, audio advertising that could be needed. And we show visually with the audio or with, you know, the audio version, how the Sonic ID or the Sonic logos or how the audio assets we've created, the music tracks, the brand anthem, you know, the motifs, sound effects, how that all ties together. And once they've sort of gone through it once and they get it, then we're ready to go. And we can, then we can make whatever we talked about making earlier on. But the Sonic style guide really is the starting point. Which gives directions to anyone making a video and anyone making an internal video or supplier video or customer or audio. And now we're talking to more and more people about communicating internally and externally in the audio, because the people who they're trying to talk to are out and about, or walking, or standing up, or on the bus, or riding cars, or driving. You know,
you never know where they are.
Gig economy stuff, or they're in restaurants or in shops. So we're doing that, and then naturally, that's also, you know, we've created sonic experiences as well for clients, where we do the SX. There's UX, SX, there's, you know, meaning... like employee experience, user experience, EX, UX. We do SX.
SX is
sonic experience.
Sonic experience. Okay.
It's a bullshit term I'm trying to integrate into society.
Okay. Clearly I didn't get it, but that's not to say it doesn't work.
You get it after hearing it a couple times. It's like a new song.
Yes. Yeah. So speaking of that kind of thing, where do you think this is going in the future? Because, I mean, clearly it's evolving even as we speak right now. Things are changing.
Mm.
And the pandemic, I'm sure, changed a whole bunch of stuff that was going on then that, you know, has evolved or changed now. And it's still changing. Mm. So where do you see it all going?
Well, we're going to hear a lot about AI voices and AI music.
Of course, yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, we should jump on that. However, I think there's an issue for composers, musicians, and voiceover artists and actors and writers if people aren't compensated for the work that they've done. And there is to get those AI creatives to where they are, to get that AI creative to where it should be. And they need to get a license fee, basically. They need to be, you know, they need to be paid for their work, because we're taking them away from being able to work further or needing to even.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot going on.
There's
with
a lot
that.
Going yes. on. In that.
Yeah. There's a lot that's going on with AI. Yeah. And I don't think it's really technically artificial intelligence at this point. It's kind of getting everything derivative. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's taking stuff from what it yeah. already has and making new stuff
yeah.
from what it's finding.
And I think a lot of I think a lot of people will go broke in the creative industries if they're not looked after. And so I think for us, you know, making sure that we're up to date with the tech and we understand how to work and understand how to implement it, so that we can do more, is very important, but mm-hmm. also making sure that the people we work with are compensated for their work is very important. So, but creatively, if people want to focus their attention on what they're creating to AI, I think they've got a big problem, because they're going to end up being very bland, and they're just going to sound the way that everyone's website kind of looks the same, because, you know, they... You know, every fast-made website looks the same, because yeah. they're on Wix, or they're on Squarespace, or they have a WordPress template, or they've gone to the cheap and cheerful person and they've just got the standard thing. I think, you know, they have to – they can start with that, but the jump everyone needs to have something unique that sounds about them, because if you don't, people will misinterpret – the sounds and the music and attribute it to another brand, or worse, they won't remember it. It won't be distinctive. It won't be memorable. It won't be hummable. It won't be singable. And so I think what brands should be doing now is starting that process to find their sound effects, if you think of Slack's, that knock shuffle sound that they've got,
mm-hmm.
that's Slack. It's one sound. And I think brands who, you know, acknowledge they don't have a sound, or they've never thought about it, and go to someone who does think about it. And it can't be, it can't be something that's done for a campaign. It's got to be something that goes, I know I might leave in 3 years or 3 weeks or 3 months or 30 years, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's kind of like good government infrastructure building projects. Why sure, do we need why do we need this train? Well, we're building a suburb there in 20 years, so we should probably build the train there before we, you know. It's that it's part of sort of that sort of mentality. And so I think that, you know, brands who have been around for a long time, who have something, you start with that. Start with the familiar. Start with the something you liked and go from there. You don't have to sort of invent everything, mm-hmm. but you also can.
Yeah. And you need to be able to implement it after you've created it too. I think part of the problem that I see with a lot of companies is that they'll get something done and then they won't do anything with it.
mm. And I think, you know,
so if it just sits there.
That's right. If it's just like you must use this on every creative, it must be there in one way or another. Now it doesn't. Now, then you get flexibility because if you create a style guide for it. Mm-hmm. You go, here are the elements from within it. And you don't, you know, then you get the freedom to change the creative because you've got a few elements up your sleeve. And like the I'm loving it, there's a whole bunch of music that goes before and after that if you want it. Mm-hmm. So figuring out when to implement that is also creative options rather than restraints, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fascinating process and I love hearing about it.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers, and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that too. Now, back to the podcast.
From all the sound experiences you hear about, mm-hmm. how much process do you hear? I'm just curious. Yeah.
Of the end result, you mean?
Yeah.
Like
in
how
the
much
sonic
of,
branding?
Not a whole lot, honestly. I mean, the only reason that I know about the McDonald's process and how that all happened is because it's 20 years old. Like, I mean, we don't hear about it unless it has some past already. You know what I mean? We don't really understand the process until it's already been going on for many, many years. I know, for instance, even with this podcast, I've had 3 different music intros and outros because originally when I was first starting, I didn't have money to pay an artist to make something new for me. I got it from a music-free, a license-free music directory. That was where I went because that's where people go. And that's what I used for a long time. And then I had an element of that music that I really liked. There was a guitar strum in the beginning that was kind of an earworm for me that I really liked. And it wasn't enough that it would be exactly like the particular piece of music, but getting someone to make something for me later, then I said, I like that aspect of it. So let's just build something around that aspect that goes with the podcast. And so I had something that was made for me at the, I think it was the 100th episode. And I went with that music for about 50 episodes. And then at 50 episodes, I had someone else sort of take that strummy earworm thing and make something new with it. So I've seen how this happens to many different companies and my own, really. and it evolves over time.
Well, when you get to 250, I can do something for you. We'd love to do something for you.
I'm getting close, actually.
All right, 300.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've actually got, I think, I'm programmed out to 214, I think, at this point.
Cool.
So,
well done.
Yeah, it's been going on a while because of excellent conversations like the one I've been having with you.
Thank you. I want to know what's the Sonic brand that stands out for you? What's your number one?
My number one. I'd be curious about your number one too. But my number one. I mean, it's got to be Intel for me. Like I grew up with Intel on every commercial that I ever watched, and I was a techie from early on. So their brilliance in not getting their own commercials, but having their Sonic logo on, actually, I guess it would be an audio logo, according to you. So mm-hmm. Yes, having their audio logo on every commercial that the people using their chip made mm-hmm. was brilliant. Because it was heard so many times. I mean,
yeah.
And how can you beat that?
Well, and they had the reinforcement of the sticker on the computer as well.
Yes.
So that was one of the rare examples, like McDonald's, where they didn't need to say the name.
Because
like you said, they just had that volume. But my favorite one's EA Sports.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Yeah, because to me that's... You know, Sonic, there is a visual, but there doesn't need to be. It's said by a commentator. You know, it's a game, but the Pavlovian response that exists in the same way that ba-da-da-da-da at the drive-thru happens. It just made me want to play FIFA, which was my favorite game, which is soccer, football. You know, says who they are, says what they're about. Just so perfectly eloquent.
Sure. The PlayStation one is kind of like that too, isn't it? Like you heard that.
Yeah.
Like,
and the Apple ding.
PlayStation.
I mean, there was for a long time, it's a Sony. There's plenty of examples.
There's tons of them.
Yeah. I think that's the interesting thing is there are tons of them until you realize there aren't. There's actually not very many of them at all.
Yeah. But these are the ones that have taken time, right? Like they've been around for a long time. So they start to become part of the consciousness.
that's right, they do. So they've all got that in connection with each other. But I think also they say it well, or they hum it well, the ones that exist. And I think that, you know, the brands that don't do it are missing out. And the brands that don't do it as soon as possible are missing out because it's very difficult to be different and distinctive. And you kind of need both of them in this modern advertising world because everything's so fragmented. People are not just sitting down at the TV at a certain time or listening to the radio together or, you know, it's a much more solo experience than it was when we were growing up. And I think lots of people aren't seeing the same stuff or hearing the same stuff. And so therefore it's very difficult for brands to make an impact. And so this just gives them cues, triggers, melodies that can live in people's brains, whether the media is being spent or not, and have a very quick association when people are thinking about choosing a product. And also because it's in intimate, brands will get considered more often. So when they're heard, so they probably can reduce the number of times that they have to be heard. So it's quite valuable for those who like to play in the market.
Very much so. Yeah. And, I've been loving this conversation, but yeah, we're coming up on our end of time here. So I want to let people know how they can get in touch with you and reach out if they need these services, because clearly they should. So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they should go to wherever they feel comfortable. But if they do want to come to us, it's ampel.com.au, ample. And they can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Josh. This has been very enlightening, and I appreciate you coming on.
Jody, thank you very much. It's a privilege to thank you for inviting me.
Thanks.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.